AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we proudly serve on the radio southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And we also proudly serve on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. You'll also be receiving a rebroadcast if you are part of our e-list. And you can go to the e-list and sign up simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Click on the e-list. It's very easy to fill in. And each and every week you will receive a copy of the broadcast. And of course, we ask that you send that broadcast to family members and friends, because that is how our family of listeners continues to grow. Well, I hope all of you had a very enjoyable Labor Day holiday. I certainly did. And I want to send a shout out to all of the people. I attended a great festival, the Polish American Festival, there at Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. For the 3 day, we had big crowds. It was beautiful. It continues this Saturday, the 8th and the 9th, from 12 noon until 8 p.m. And so that I promote once again our initiative, National Small Business Weekend. That's coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go out and support all of your local businesses. Well, as I'm giving out my flyers at the various festivals and events that I attend, people tell me that they're concerned about their children and their grandchildren who graduated from college but didn't have a lot of job openings in the area that they studied for and that they received a great diploma for. And they're also concerned about the great debt that they're in. As I go around handing out the flyers, people tell me it's unbelievable. There should be many changes taking place in America to make sure that the people in the schools know really what is going on. And I agree, and I feel that America's businesses should be communicating with the college leaders, the counselors, to let the students know exactly what type of jobs America's employers are going to be needing in the next 2, 5, 7, or 10 years. That has not been happening for many, many years. Now, I sent out a special link the other day. It's called the National Jobs Commitment. It is listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. As you know, in the past, I'm non-sectarian and non-political. I try to give everybody credit. This time, I am giving our President Trump credit because he organized a special conference of leaders of national companies, and they committed to give up to 4 million people new jobs. And I'd like to encourage you to go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It is a 33-minute tape from C-SPAN, but it's really very interesting. And I think that you will be impressed with what is happening. And I have not heard anything different, you know, in the past. It's the first time this has ever been done. Many of you may remember the Blihash plan. About 5 years ago, I put out this plan and I said the president should be bringing people to the White House from all of the various groups, bringing in the governors, bringing in business leaders. Well, if you take a look at that, you will see exactly what this man has been doing. Now, as I said, I'm trying not to be political. I welcome our guests to be as political as they choose. But I have not heard people speaking up about what's happening in the past for many, many years. And by the way, people now tell me that they feel President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama all had the opportunity to address the loss of jobs and get education leaders together to make real changes needed for the country. But that wasn't happening. And it took a non-political person to come in and to do this. So no matter what people feel about the president, at least his administration is doing something to change the job situation around. With that thought in mind, I'm going to ask Mark Andel to give us a report on how you are doing over this Labor Day holiday. And did you have a chance to look at that report that's up on our site?
Yes, Mike. How you doing? And Henry, and I think the guys are coming along. The listeners, welcome, and I hope everybody enjoyed Labor Day. I had a great Labor Day with family and friends, and you know, a lot of our workers, Mike, worked right through the weekend. Though even we're that busy, where we chose a few, and we give double time and whatnot. So I couldn't really send that email out. You know, have a great Labor Day time off, because we worked right through, and that's a statement, Mike, how busy we are. And like you've just talked about, it's amazing with the new administration. Our industries, oil, mining, military, just general business is up and running very well. And, Mike, we keep talking about, but that skilled worker shortage is such a problem right now. I've got an opportunity to double our workload, but not finding people. And what I want you to know, Mike, I reached out to Sherman McLeod, Sue did today, and we're trying to set up a meeting with him to not only look at his tip TIG and different welding technology and process, but also for him to hopefully grow us some welders, some people that we can, you know, he can build in Philadelphia, their train, and then send up to us. So that's all fresh out of the box. That is how busy we are. That is how good we're doing, and that is our major struggle, and we can't talk about that shortage enough, Mike.
Yeah, you know, at this festival this past Sunday, a lady came, and she comes all the time to the festival. She is a welder, and really? I wanted to just mention that, and she is also a listener and a supporter of our broadcast and our movement. This is what it's all about. You know, we've never talked about the shortage of workers in our country for 25 years. In fact, Larkin, I have to tell you this, and I shouldn't say this on air, but I was so angry with this response to what I received yesterday from a person who told me, Michael, you are telling the people to go to work and give up all their welfare benefits and all for people who are working age. What happens if this big bubble breaks, this new Trump economy breaks down? What's going to happen to all the people without the jobs? They'll have to be running to the public welfare programs again to get signed up. I said, well, let's hope that we don't have a bubble break. I said to her, I mean, I understand her point of view, because that's her job. She's been doing that for 25 years. And the more people that come off of welfare, the less people they need in their office to provide all of these various services. And by the way, the Sherman McLeods of the world are pulling in these people and giving them the second chance that we want everyone to have. Life is precious. I'm sorry to say, life to me is very precious. People are precious. I love to go to these events and talk to the people. It means more than people can understand, because I know how hard those families are working to keep their people together so that they're not unemployed, so that their children never see them in stress. This is very important to me. But some of these bureaucrats, oh, well, you know, whatever are you going to do? So this is, I don't know, if this bubble breaks, you'll be sorry and you'll be sending all the people back to the welfare programs. I said, I hope that bubble never breaks, and I'll do my very best to make sure it does not break. Larkin, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? Happy Labor Day. I had a wonderful weekend. It was quiet. I worked in the yard a lot, but in my heart and my mind, I celebrated Labor Day and the wonderful people that make up the labor force in this country. I got to tell you a couple things. First of all, and this is not to make light of the wonderful shrine that you have in the Northeast. You talk of it so proudly, and you enjoy a great relationship with that group. But I'm going to take another bend to that shrine. Every once in a while, I find words in my life that are just flat fun to say. And I'm going to tell you, making it to the top of that list is Shenstahova. I love that word. And I know it means so much to you, and it means so much to the Catholics in the Northeast. But tell them that they have a it's a name I'll never forget. If I come to Philadelphia and I want to find something extracurricular to do, I'll not forget the word Shenstahova and the associated shrine.
And yeah. I'm sure that people will be telling me about this over this next weekend. I'll be up there. They have another weekend of great entertainment, 12 to 8. And the good thing of it is, Larkin, I hate to say this to you, but your face is everywhere. I mean, and people know you. They know this guy. And they remember you living here in Philadelphia. They said, what made Larkin move to Florida? I said, well, he just decided to move to Florida. He wanted good weather all year. And so, I mean, it's good to know. And Mark, also, many people, especially these bus groups that keep coming around, they've been to your store. They've been to your store. They know who you are. They've heard the bus story. They said they have seen the pictures of Mark. They've been in there, and they even snacked in your place. I don't know. I have not been there, but they said they have a place to snack and the whole deal. Yep. So this is really beautiful to know. But Larkin, family is very important. Yeah. Family is so important. And getting these jobs back, the training back, the teachers are also been telling me at these festivals and job fairs and all that they only can do what they're instructed to do. Many of them feel just the way we do, but they're not allowed to go off the road, so to speak. They have to go according to the party line. If the school has no, here's a good point. A very interesting gentleman told me this, and I now understand better than before. He said to me, Michael, we don't talk about the programs, the specialty programs, because our tech schools are packed right now, and they've been packed for years. But we should have more tech schools, so we can't take the boys or the girls from our school and bus them once a week or twice a week to the tech schools because there's no room for them. We agree 1,000%. It should be addressed 10, 15, 20 years ago, but it wasn't addressed. So we as teachers just have to go along with the flow. That's the sad part of this whole situation.
Yep. And,
it's so true. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Larkin, welcome. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were on it first. I think I mentioned last time, a statement I made, boots, not suits, built this country. I said that to my mom and dad, and they said, you got to make a T-shirt with that old set of boots, and boots, not suits, built this country. But the training, the skilled trades, we talk about the metal shops and wood shops we had in school. Again, my daughter just started school today. It's the school season. Everybody's back on. But I wish they were getting exposed to it younger. We're seeing change. It's just very slow, but These skilled trade workers are going to make a lot of money. I'm telling you, they already are. My people made double time. They got to work, but it's not a sweatshop, but they're working. We're seeing change, Mike, but I think the more we talk about it, but it's got to hit that national level. You got to see it on World News once a week. I just don't understand.
You're right. You got to see it.
It's got to be national.
And we have 535 people in Congress that are representing people from every town and city and state in the USA. Yet I don't hear one word from these people. They're so good to criticize one another or make a big to-do about things happening in the news, but they have no concern for the people living in the places where they represent. How about somebody has to go to school? Somebody needs to know who in the 20-mile radius is going to be needing jobs 2, 3, 5 years down the road.
And Mike and Larkin, what I heard last night, so I taped the World News. I try not to, I don't watch it every day. I'll catch it once a week or so. Last night I get it on, and what do they talk about? A book that was written about the president, and he wasn't involved, and they asked Kelly. None of them were involved, but they wrote it about this idiot. And I'm like, is this the 5-10 minutes of World News?
Is this needed? Do we really need that?
Promoting a book?
We should have a special channel devoted to all this garbage for those people that want to watch garbage. We should have a channel that really talks about the bread and butter issues. The thing, right, Larkin, that you're concerned about, Rich is concerned about, Mark is concerned about, Henry's
absolutely
concerned about. Is Henry concerned with four kids that they go on some kind of welfare programs? Absolutely not. He looks for every one of his kids to go up the ladder. But to go up the ladder in the USA, the rest of the country has to be whole. We have to be using our human capital wisely. And yet, what are we doing? We're wrangling over idioticness, total idioticness. And by the way, the president is not perfect. We never thought any president was going to be perfect when they were in there. But every person in the presidency has the opportunity to really guide the sailboat down the river. If there's no wind, he has to make wind.
You know, Michael, before I make a comment about what you've just said, I wanted to say something else because this has struck me several times, and I've never said anything about this out loud. But I'm going to harken back to something my father always talked about. He said, you know, religion comes first, but very, very close second, and they're usually tied together as family. And then it's the company you keep, your friends, and the people that you call friends. And I've noted this, you know, Mark Andel has said and done so many things that have completely amazed me. But one of them that I've never made note of is he always mentions them almost in the same breath. What was his Labor Day? He spent it with family and friends.
Very well said.
And he never fails to remember his friends. Mark, you've done it again. You keep on throwing me curveballs. And that's not a
curveball. Sometimes curve I ball. Think that's, I need new friends, Larkin, but yeah.
I've got tons of friends. And so do you, Mark, but there's sometimes that I just fail to mention them and to, you know, to say out loud how important they are to me in my life. But at any rate, let's talk about that Trump economy just for a second. This is where this country has gone so egregiously wrong. I don't know what you do, but there should not be a politician in this country that isn't delighted with the direction this economy is going in. There isn't a politician in this country that shouldn't be finding out exactly what's making it happen and make it happen in his state, his district, his city, his town, his community, and yet we still continue with this barbarous party line arguing about Donald Trump. Listen. If the economy does go sour, and I don't think it is, because Mark said it last week, economy is an attitude. You know, you've got to talk it up. You've got to be positive. You've got to create a positive thought in the minds of the consumer. And if the consumer's fired up, they're not afraid to spend. And that's what supports the economy. But right now, what are the consumers? They're walking around going, they won't approve Brett Kavanaugh when they can't find a thing on him. They have nowhere to go with it except to try to call a recess and stall and fight politically. They ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Did you see that arguing? Larkin, last night I seen that on World. What? And they had to remove his kids and.
Well, the kids were scheduled to leave.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, the wrangling at that hearing was absolutely foolishness.
You watch his face, right?
It's embarrassing. Seriously. And this is what it's, you know, I watch parliamentary procedure, which I absolutely adore. And if you ever get a chance to watch the British Parliament on BBC in session, it's great. Because somebody will say, well, it's about time that the Labor Party would give some consideration. And all the people in the Labor Party sitting on the other side go, oh, no. You know, I mean, they go back and forth. It is so lighthearted. But they get something accomplished. They're not, and they come out of the thing arms embraced, just as our great senator from Arizona did. I mean, he, you know, when it was all over with, he's out having a beer with the guys he was just calling, you know, whatever you call each other on the Senate floor. It's become impossible. I'm really, they keep on talking about the threat to democracy. It's not a threat to democracy. There's a threat to the way of life that we have in this country. That people, that Dianne Feinstein and this Blumenthal idiot, and excuse me, this senator from Connecticut, isn't standing up and applauding and saying the economy is great, America, let's go, let's keep it going.
Right.
No, he's sitting there going, Obama, Freudian slip. Trump's got this problem, and Trump's got that problem, and Trump's got this problem. I'm not, as you all know, I'm not a ferocious Trump supporter. But listen, I am perfectly willing to recognize that the man, whatever he's doing, is working.
You know, Larkin, I want to add something to what you just said, which is very interesting. I think the party, the Democratic Party, and I don't push Democrats, Republicans, or Independents in my travels, but people tell me where they're standing, and I like hearing what they have to say. But I think that the Democrats should be saying, well, Donald Trump did this with the NAFTA. I think he should have done this, this, and this, more positive work. Add something positive to everything, not negative. See, the negativity is turning people off to the point they don't want to be bothered anymore. And that is what I'm hearing from everybody. I used to watch this station and that station. I've stopped watching it. I'm now watching Dancing with the Stars or whatever. I'm not watching that because I don't want to be influenced. I've already got my opinion. My opinion is this. My opinion is this. We went through 20 years of America being stagnant. Now we're seeing America move one step up the ladder every so month. So why did we have that for years? I don't want to hear all the wrangling. I don't want to hear all these talking heads. I want to hear from common American people is what the American people that I meet tell me.
Yeah. You know, in front of our paper, I think it was Sunday, Mike, there was an article where finding workers is very difficult. And we had a couple with a smaller business, Larkin, with like a startup business, just, you know, talking about how hard it is to find a worker, let alone a skilled worker. And it was a good article. And, them type of things make people wonder. I think we make more change with what we talk about and do. So at least we get people thinking about it in the schools. But that stigma has to be lifted. And that's what worries me a lot when I talk to college kids. I was with my kids over the weekend, and a lot of them spent a lot of money, $250,000, and they're not doing much with that 4 year. But again, you know, a doctor, you need it. So there's so much somehow at the lower levels, and maybe Larkin, you could comment, you know, at when they're talking to these kids in eighth, ninth, and steering them in the right direction and really trying to read these kids, don't just send them to college, go to college. If they don't have somebody's two-year community college, I think is a great way. You spend a lot less money for 2 years, under $10,000 probably, and you get a taste of what you might want to go for and then finish up maybe in the third and fourth year somewhere else.
You know, that's very good. And Mark, by the way, the colleges would learn to do things differently if the people held back for a year or two from going there. Right now, I see that colleges are starting to fight for bodies to fill the seats, for dollars to come into their institutions.
Sometimes, Mike, I don't know if they care enough about what that child or student's going to take.
As long as there's a body in the seat, they don't care.
Right. I hear it. I was listening over the weekend.
And yet I heard yesterday on C-SPAN, was it last night? I had a rocky night and I was up. Oh, I'll tell you exactly what it was. Mr. Nadal decided he was going to take him 4.5 hours to dispatch with his competition at the U.S. Open. And I unfortunately got caught on that. But I switched around when I got bored with that, and I watched the thing on C-SPAN. and they had on three pretty intelligent individuals. But the one I listened to the most was the president, and I wish I could tell you his name, the president of Purdue, the University of Purdue. And he spoke exactly what we're talking about right now. It might be an interesting guest to get on if he's available. But he talked about the high cost of college and the fact that a significant percentage of college students aren't learning what they need to learn in order to advance through society.
There you go.
In the coming years. I mean, it just has to be, you know, revisited, and we have to decide that there's a lot of things more important than sitting through a political science class talking about the stuff that really, I mean, it's important, and I'm not denying that it's important, but it's not important to everybody. But, you know, if you don't take one credit of political science, you can't graduate. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we agree on education, training. But you can get education a lot of different places. My father would say military construction sites for 2 years. He wants every kid. You know, you could go through school, tech schools, industrial arts, trade schools. There's many, many, many ways to learn. But it's finding that passion of what you want to do and then tying that to make a livelihood and somehow figuring all that out at a younger age.
And, you know, Mark, that's exactly why we have 6 million unfilled jobs in America right now as we speak. There are openings for 6 million people, but they have to be people with skills. And that's why I said in the past, many companies are taking, you know, opportunities to outreach to other companies to sort of grab those people and give them a better pay and benefits to move them to another company, because we don't have the people skilled. When you look at the skills that are needed, they're not unbelievable skills. They are skills that the young people should have had in junior and senior high school. They should have been able to understand. And by the way, somebody told me over the weekend, which I loved, is, you know, if you don't know how to use a ruler, that's bad. And if you have one of those wands that does it with the electronically and your battery is gone, guess what? You're lost. Because you don't know how to measure regularly. You're depending on that electronic device to measure it for you. And that is what we're missing. We're giving students a lot of stuff, but not the basics, not the common sense things that they're going to need to go into an environment to work. Tomorrow we have a job fair in Philadelphia from 11 to 2 in the afternoon, and you're all invited. That'll be at the Hilton in Philadelphia, and you can see more information about that job fair at unitedsocialservices.com and click on the job fair link. If you have any young people, middle-aged people, whatever, send them over to the job fair, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow. I'm bringing that up today because I have some contacts with the businesses that are looking to hire people. And they always say to me, if you have somebody, send me the resumes or have them contact me, because, you know, the job fair is 3 hours. They come, they go. And if you have somebody that you know, send me that resume so we can bring them in and maybe give them some, you know, some extra consideration. But a lot of the people coming to the job fairs, they're beautifully dressed. They are great resumes for if you want to be a history major or a science major, but they're not the jobs that are needed today. There's research and technology, opening new product lines, a lot of the things are now being done robotically, and you have to have people who know how to do that, people who want to get involved in it, people who had a few months of hands-on experience with a hammer and a chisel and whatever, and those people are hard to find.
At the same time, Michael, if you're looking to, you know, program a computer-operated machine like a brake, a lathe, you better be relatively comfortable around that machine. I mean, you better know what you're working on. It just doesn't come down to computers.
It's funny, Larkin, you bring that up because I have the state-of-the-art AccuPress 350-ton press brake to form metal. So you put flat metal in, you can form it to any degree. We are looking right now for an operator for it. We had trained a young guy, but it's CNC controlled. You got to really know your stuff, but you also got to be able to handle metal, feed the machine, and then, you know, without getting hurt and whatnot. Larkin, I can't find anybody. We've ran ads, and you can't find anybody in this. And CNC, computer numerical controlled, so you tie a computer to a machine, and you've got to basically lay out everything in that computer that's attached to the machine. You pre-bend it on the computer screen so to make sure the dies and the piece forms the way you want. It actually will tell you if it can't be done, and then you put your piece in and do it. But so hard to find this these students or these people that are trained in this. We are having a difficult time. We've been looking for 6 months now because we have one moving on, but we are trying to train within. We started our welding school back up last week. It's an off-site school that we tied with Arc Welding, and they're training six of our guys. But to try to bring them up to the speed with this new Pulse MIG and the new technology, and Michael and you know, Larkin, that's where Sherman McLeod comes in with that virtual reality training. I think it's awesome. I talk about them all the time.
And I hope you remember.
You want to be there.
Oh, I want to be there.
I want to be there. I'll let you know.
I won't say a word. I'll probably just sit there working real hard and keeping my mouth closed.
We're going to teach you. We're going to get him to teach you how to weld when you were down there.
And I've sent many people to his site to see what it's all about. And I'd love to see Larkin, him be supported by some of the elected people so that he would feel appreciated too. He should be able to outreach very easily through all of these human service programs, but they seem not to want to get involved because that's really their bread and butter, keeping people in poverty, which I dislike very much. It's not my kind of thing.
Michael, let's go back to that lady that asked you that question, though. You know, what if they get off welfare and they got to go back? But that shouldn't even be a question. You've got to go forward. You can't the what ifs.
Well, that's why I've made some little enemies in some of these organizations because I say that we can't allow this bubble to break.
Yeah.
And we have got to expand the industrial revolution in America and every other type of revolution in America. We're not a country that doesn't have a lot of land. We have all the land that we need to expand. We can do everything from farming to making everything. There was, by the way, on this particular site, when you, I'm asking everybody to go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and on the right side we put up this thing, the National Jobs Commitment. I think it's very interesting to see how the president gathered all these national companies and got them to commit to so many jobs over the next 5 years. You will be very interesting to see it. It'll be very good 33 minutes of relaxation. It's not bull. It's actual, you know, commitment to do it. And companies are signing the pledge. And this is something that we should have been doing 20, 30 years ago. We can't live in the past. So we have to promote what is happening right now.
And
yes,
guys,
yeah, our economy has a million moving parts. It does. Yeah. And the New York Stock Exchange and the American Bar Association. I mean, I could sit here for the next five programs and just list moving parts of the economy. And some of them, like the stock market, are going to have to adjust. The stock market can't just keep on going up and going up and going up. You know, stock prices are supported by the strength of the company. And some of them are undervalued and some of them are overvalued. And the overvalued ones have to adjust, and that has a tendency in a marketplace where you have politicians in Washington doing nothing but attacking each other and not supporting that economy. That's when the economy goes into a tailspin. Just because one or two of the moving parts starts to adjust doesn't mean the whole thing has to collapse. It's all attitude. Mark said it last week, and it's true. It's an attitude. Just because Mark loses one machine or one worker, it doesn't bring his operation to a complete halt. I mean, it's just, you know, you fight the battle. fix the weak link and move on.
Now, Mark, I'm going to ask you a question about that before we go to Rich Loges. I want to ask you, how hard would it have been to find a worker, say, 10, 15 years ago? With more hands-on skill.
Yeah, I've seen that because with the oil industry, I've been dropped like 8 times. You get dropped fast when oil goes down or up. But it used to be easier. Everybody's got older. The average age of the welders is 65 to 70, a little better, which is crazy. So everybody got older, Mike, in that, you know, if we go back 10 years, them welders are older, maybe retired. We haven't kept up with it. So it's very difficult, and we're always surprised, even my large customers. Remember, we do work for Halliburton, BP, ExxonMobil through another company, but it's so much harder, Mike, now. And I always thought it was hard last time, but I say this all the time. It's very, very difficult, and there isn't even guys that people are stealing. They're just not out there. And it's
not out there to grab, sure.
Nobody has an answer, and you can't grow this economy without keeping up with the workforce.
And there is now a new person in Philadelphia. It's a headhunter for businesses. He he now takes calls from businesses like you, Mark, need to find a specific type of a worker, and he looks to see which company has that kind of worker, and he looks to see if he can borrow that worker for life for a person like you. It's every opportunity. You know, every problem has an opportunity to be solved. And he's there now making money from companies who don't have the time or the ability to go out and do all this interviewing. He's able to do it for them. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Every day something new comes into the picture. We are joined also today with Mr. Rich Loges, our great program host. And also, I want to remind all of you, you can see the Rich Loges Show simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, click on Rich's picture, and when you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, right under Mark Andel's symbol, Made in America Store, you will find a link to Mark's program. Rich, how you doing?
Hey, Michael. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope all our listeners had a great Labor Day. Sorry I was a little bit late. I'm tardy coming on today. I was just listening, though, Michael. And so if I could just make a comment about a couple of things you guys each said. So, Michael, when you talk about making some enemies, remember that old saying that you judge a man in part by the enemies he makes. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't make anything but enemies, but having a couple enemies here and there, I always like to highlight the radio host Howard Stern. In the very beginning of his career, Howard Stern was propelled to success not by the people who loved him, but by the people who hated him. That's true.
That's very true. Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's been verified. And as he got more popular and successful, then it's reversed. He needed to be more loved than hated. But to be loved and to succeed, you must in part be hated. And Mark knows a little something about that, and Larkin knows a little something about that because of Larkin's business career. And, you know, Larkin, you were talking about just now politicians. Well, if anyone's looking for additional reasons to dislike politicians in Washington, they need to watch the Supreme Court hearing this week. Because I know, Michael, the problem is it's you know, it's a little more partisan for me because I trust me, a lot of the Republican senators who spoke yesterday, they're just wimpy and whiny to me all the time. It's like that scene in The Godfather when the Don jumps out of his chair and he smacks Johnny Fontaine and he says, "You can act like a man." You know, what's the idiot? What can I do? What can I do? You know, he says that. But you watched yesterday half the questioners and the big speeches. If you need more reason to dislike politicians, I've got it. Go check out the Supreme Court hearings that started yesterday and will continue this week. And then, last but not least, you know, whenever I get emails from the president's office about Made in America manufacturing, I always think about Mark. And I always think about how Mark is in my opinion, you know, he's the pioneer. He's the modern-day pioneer when it comes to Made in America. And there are many many other equally important people. Like, we've got mic sessions with all of the work that he's done, and everyone's doing this together. It's like that scene in Patton, Michael, right? When Patton says that an army, an eat, sweeps, fights as a team. There's no individuality. You know, that stuff's a bunch of crap. Of course, in the real life, Patton didn't quite use those words. But I think about that every time I hear something from the White House. And so, you know, Mark to me is the guy who's really helped lead that charge. And there's only up to go, Mark. You know, we only have up to go on this.
You're right. And, you know, Rich, none of this, what's taking place in America, took just 2, 3, 5 years to happen. It took place over the last 20 and 30 years. Mark is a man who showed us that if you start small, you can grow. Just consider Mark opened his store with a few hundred items, the Made in America store. Now he's got thousands of items. He's in a more difficult situation because he wants everything 100% made in America. There are stores who don't want any made in America because they make more profit on foreign products. So that is why I beg people to use their dollars wisely and direct those dollars to the things that they need that are made in America. Even if it costs you a dollar or two more, consider that you are helping employ an American. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to add, you know, first of all, you know, Rich and Mike, thank you, Larkin, always kind comments. And, you know, I lead with from the heart, and my story is a real story. Remember, originally, I didn't want to tell my story, you know, in the beginning, and people said, it's your story, Mark. But now any chance I get, if it's for a car club or a school or wherever, I do tell my story, where I came from, what I did, where I am. Or show the movie, and the movie's awesome to show that, too. But a lot of people forget, you know, our company, General Welding, went from a $12 million company to a $5 million in sales company in 2010. We started to come back up a little, Made in America help, but then in 2016, worst year, almost worse than 2010. Now we're coming up strong. The exciting thing now, Mike, is the General Welding's getting strong again. We got, because that's higher volume work, and the better we get there, the more we can help the Made in America really become something and go across this country with store and stores. And it is a shame. We were talking the other day with our store and store team, and this is a team that gets together to try to get products in other stores. We were asked to go down to the new Adams Mark in Buffalo. It's one tall hotel is going to be just bought by a person that wants a Made in America store inside. And basically what we do is supply them 100% triple certified product and help them manage their inventory. But as we go across, it's really a shame that there's only one Made in America world-class distribution center. It's ours. Nobody's ever done this. It's just a shame, even talking to my father every once in a while, he said, how did we get here 40 years ago? You know, in Bethlehem, they'd never allow a foreign product. But it's funny, and I just like even the listeners to know, our story is a real story. What we've done, I've got a great team. I could have never done it alone. But as we go forward, we're very sincere and got a lot of passion for it. And with your radio show, though, Mike, you don't get enough credit holding us together. I remember me, Rich, and Larkin, and you always talking about where we're going. But I think we've got a great show that people listen to, and it's factual. It's facing the brutal facts and coming up with trying to suggest things to change it.
And I do love the fact that people tell me they download the show and send it to family members and friends, some to make sure that they understand that there is another side to the story. All the wrangling in Washington and the national media, it's all a waste of time. They're using America as a punching bag, and America is not a punching bag. We've been punched in the stomach for years. It's good to see some national leaders starting to stand up for America, but we really need all of them because they're being paid with our tax dollars, and as taxpayers, we have to speak up. What do you say, Richard?
I mean, Michael, is that not one of the other main themes of this show? I know from the time I've been on, it's 6 years now. You know, it's 6 years, and we've talked, and we got to keep banging this drum that for a long time, lots of people sleep at the wheel.
Long time.
And economically, you know, and I admit this next point, Michael, that to me, I view pretty much everything as political. You know, whether it's our economy or what happens in our schools, our youth, the Supreme Court, I mean, America, I view everything as political. And the reason I do is because that's the that's the sort of beauty, but the burden of the freedom of our country is that because we are the freest place, everybody has a say in the outcome. I would still rather have a system in place where all of us have a say, and we got to bust our butts to mobilize people to our side than to have a country and a system where we have no say. There are plenty of countries around the world where the people have no say, and none
That's
of those
right.
countries are places where people would choose to live if they could escape from them, right? If that makes sense. So I still would rather, Michael, have it this way, but it's incumbent upon everybody, at the risk of trying to sound like I'm lecturing anyone here, it is truly it's incumbent upon everyone to do at least a little bit. And the ones who are going to really take charge, like you guys here, then we're going to make up the rest here. But everyone's got to do a little something every day.
You know,
everybody's got to be engaged a little.
You know, Richard, you're right. And I want you to know, everything is politics. It's political actions. Dealing with your daughter, your little daughter. She wants it this way. You want it that way. So you come to some kind of a in the middle thing. Henry's four kids, my kids, my granddaughter, even she's tough as they could be. She wants to do this. I want to sit for a minute. She wants to walk. We got to go through the neighborhood. It's 95 degrees. Her mind is set. All right, let's wait till a little while it gets cooler. Everything is politics. But the thing is, if the politicians that we're paying for are not doing their jobs, we have to get rid of them. With that thought in mind, I am going to ask that I get the best registration, register to vote online program up on the front page of American Workers Radio. The sad part of it is we're watching all these people coming out to protest, but on the day of the election, Larkin, will they be out voting? Will they be out voting? That's the problem. They'll be fighting and arguing and laying on floors and throwing stuff against the wall, but they don't come out to vote.
I might mention, Michael, for all the political junkies, and I know that there are a handful of them on the panel here, that Florida has managed to muster up a gubernatorial election that, as far as I'm concerned, should be watched by every civilian in this country. It is as polar opposites as you can get in two politicians. The mayor of Tallahassee, who, by the way, has been mayor, I think, for 18 months, is 39 years old, I think. You can correct me. But I think he's 39 years old. But at any rate, this guy is as close to a socialist as anybody that I've seen run, including the girl up in New York City. And education should be free. Healthcare should be free. He even professes that there should be a standard wage that everybody makes. You know, you work, but everybody, you know, one of those things where the government pays you a check. I don't know exactly how that works. And we have Ron DeSantis running on the other side, who is I would kind of characterize as somewhere between a moderate Republican, but conservative and a Trump supporter. And Trump was down. And so it's really interesting to find out what happens in this state, because that is going to be a political battle, as far as I'm concerned, to watch in this country in November. Would you agree with me, Rich?
Yeah, well, absolutely, Larkin. Once again, guys, you know, all eyes of the nation on Florida. There's the old saying that as Florida goes, so does the nation. And I think there is a lot of truth in that. The one thing, Larkin, that I hope that the Democrat nominee, Andrew Gillum, I hope he does not hear what I'm about to say, because if he adopts a free Maserati bullet point into his campaign, it's done. DeSantis is over. Because as soon as he starts selling free Maserati. Have you guys seen how much surgeries cost? I mean, you could buy three Maseratis, Michael, for the cost of like a basic ankle surgery. Healthcare is like $1 trillion a year. there aren't $1 trillion spent on Maseratis every year. Last night, me and my mother were out to dinner. I asked the kid, he said he's going to college. You know what I asked him? Let me ask you something, kid. If I could give you a college degree or right now a Maserati outside, brand new, you drive away, no questions asked, what would you take? I'd take the Maserati. See? Cost savings. Cost savings. That Maserati cost 2 years of his cost savings. Anywhere, I'm going to tell you, Michael. You throw a dart in this. You throw a dart of the map of the country, and I believe in 80 to 90% of parts of the country, any candidate who runs a free stuff campaign will get a guaranteed 25% of the vote. Doesn't even have to get out of bed before noon. That means that candidate only has to get 25.1 of the other 75%. So Larkin is spot on in his analysis of this race as it relates to the national scene.
They were beside themselves in Florida, beside themselves, because in the nomination where Gillum won his side, Gillum, this guy, nobody had ever heard of him. The polls had former Governor Graham's daughter, who was a congresswoman, winning by like 7 points over another guy. Gillum wasn't even in the picture, and he won the election. And everybody said, well, how do you do that? I mean, how does that work? You know how it works? You get 29% of the electorate to show up to the polls. 29%. Because everybody thought, well, oh, she's going to win. She doesn't need me to come out there and support her. I mean, the heck with that. 29%. And St. John's County, one of the finest counties in the state, they were beside themselves. Beside themselves. We have 1,800 people in my precinct, which I'm not involved with, and really makes it weird for me to walk in there. I'm not involved with it at all. They had like 487 of 1,800 voters show up, and the precinct captain was delighted. He looked at me and was delighted.
I thought, because he knew the people that came out. Yeah, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get 3 out of 10 voters. Whoever gets elected was not freely and fairly elected. Sorry.
Well, you know, Larkin, I'm still one of those people that feels that we should do what Australia does and places like that. You have to vote or you get a $100 fine or something.
We can't possibly make it any easier.
It is the easiest system.
I can't. My wife said the other day, there are 6 ways to cast a ballot on my street. 6 ways.
Larkin, I couldn't disagree with you more.
You don't even have to leave your house.
Larkin, I have to say this. I couldn't disagree with you more. You should have a Social Security number, and that's all you need to vote. Why do I have to re-register? Why do I have to register at all? It's hard to vote. You have to re-register. You have to go someplace. If I could do it from my iPhone because I'm a citizen, it would be easier and everybody would do it.
Well, all I can tell you is when I paid my property tax this year, which happened to be due just as I moved in March, I wrote the check and I filled out the form, and at the bottom it said, are you registered to vote? And I said, no. I answered no. And the next question was, do you want to be registered to vote? And I said, yes. And they asked me to sign that. And I signed it, and I gave my party affiliation, and I sent it in. And I got my voter registration card in the mail about 5 weeks later.
That's the way it should be. It should be easy to be done.
It should be easier.
Well, you don't have to go anywhere. Good Lord. Did you ever walk by a post office? All you got to do is sign the card and hand it back to the postmaster, and bam, you're registered to vote. I don't buy that garbage, and I don't think that there should be anybody.
The registering online, no matter what state you're in, is now becoming easier and easier.
You can even register. I'm telling you, my wife said there are, I don't know how many ways there are to register, but I must have been asked 5 times between now and the first time I voted, which was last year in Green Cove Springs. But No, Henry. Now, do I have all the compassion in the world for the fact that you have a house full of kids that are at an age that takes a damn lot of attention? Yes. But still.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it could be easier.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to get into the voter fraud thing. I don't know where it goes on anywhere in the world except my old precinct in Philadelphia, where I couldn't get up and go to the bathroom without them going through that boat. That
Saint boat. Stanislaus misses you down there, Larkin.
Oh, I bet they do. I bet they do.
Hey, Michael, I got some big change. My father had the flip phone. It was the one right after the Green Acres, you know, when you climb the telephone pole. Today, he told my secretary he wants an iPhone 7. So there's change.
There's change.
He's 2 years old.
I have both the iPhone and the regular. Yeah, I have both, whichever I'm in the mood for, but I have both.
We could have world peace soon. This is crazy.
Guys, you can see by the clock on the wall. Let's continue this again next week. And as I said before, would you please take the time to go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the picture of the president with the National Jobs Commitment. It's a very interesting program. And I am not praising only Trump. I want every president from now until the end of time to do things like this so that America always has the jobs and the businesses and the people working together for the good of America. God bless all of you. Thank you for tuning in. We will have a rebroadcast up in 2 hours. Send it out to family and friends. I'll see you at the festival. Do widzenia, na razie, dziękuję za wszystko. Thank you so much for all, guys.
Have a great week,
Michael,
guys. Great show.
Make sure that Henry is still talking to me.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to hit your button, Lark, and I'm like, he's got his finger
right here, buddy.
Have a great one, all.
Thanks, everyone.